We're going to have, I'm going to introduce Roman George to you. Roman George is going to bring a short message for us. He's another one of our young men that is always praying with other young people at the altar, whether it's in here or it's over in our Kids Rages classroom. He's also very involved in Sunday school, answering questions, always asking questions. And it's just so neat to see him grow, especially over the last year. I feel like, Mom, and I hate to say this because it really bothers me when I look at my son and my girls, but he went from a boy to a young man all of a sudden. And it's really cool to see. So here's Roman George.
Thank you, Josh, with the video camera in the back there. So, tonight I'm going to be preaching about respect. And I think in our society today, it's something that is valued very, not as much as it should be, basically. So, the first scripture that I'm going to quote today is, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Romans 12:10. So the first person that I thought of when I thought of respect is God, as it should everyone over here. And then the second person is parents. I mean, God put them in front of us for a reason, to teach us, to guide us, to encourage us, to do all the embarrassing things parents do. But we learn from it, and it's important. And second thing that I want to talk about is our elders are teachers. Teachers, they're great people. They really are. Despite how kids might describe them sometimes, they really are good people. And they can play a role as second parent also. If a parent may fail to make the requirements, a teacher might step in and be that second parent. And our elders, encouraging us with wisdom, respect, and their sacrifice to make our life easier. And then my second scripture that I'm going to be quoting tonight is Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of self-ambition or vain conceit, or whatever that word is. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Well, first thing that I want to talk about is a lot of people do this, and I'm not one of them, but they value people just to get respect from other people. Like, let's say, Nolan over here. I'm sorry, I had to call you out. You're just sitting in the front row. So, Nolan over here, he's just valuing me to get Seiki to value him in more reason. And Nolan, I know you'd never do that, I'm just saying. But Nolan's a great guy, never mind. So one of the great things that also parents have is they're willing to lay down their lives for you, which is a great thing that all parents should have. And kids, we really need to appreciate that more about parents. And in my conclusion, as I said, I don't think this is going in our society today, and it's something that we need to work on through our children's lives. And it also says in 2 Timothy 3:2, "For men shall be lovers of themselves, gracious, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." And that is my presentation.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, I just got a comment. Do you know how silly it looks up here when all the adults are... We're going to post that on YouTube, okay? All right, we're going to raise money to get that off of YouTube for Sunday school, just so you know. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We are in our spring crusade, and that's a good time of the year to be in, amen? Because that means spring is here. Praise God. Everyone loves spring. Everyone spent a lot of time out on Saturday. It was a beautiful day. Praise God. Praise God. Well, as I do every children's crusade, I want to ask everyone here to pick a number between 1 and 10. All right? That's your age for the day. Everyone in here, so we're at a children's crusade, so we need everyone just to kind of lower down your standard, and we're all going to be a child again, okay? So praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to call out two people real quick for birthdays. I'm not supposed to do this, but we had Grayson. And I don't think she's in here, but Sister Aurora's birthday was today, too. So happy birthday to both of them. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so appreciative. My pastor's not in here today. He's not feeling well, but every time I come up here, I just want to be under his authority and his anointing. And I love my pastor dearly, and he's a great man, and I really appreciate him. Praise God. But we are excited about what Jesus is going to do in this place today. Amen? Praise God. I'm not going to preach for a long time here today because God has something special that he wants to do in this place. All right? So basically, I'm going to jump in and jump out of the way, and God's going to move. And whoever's going to be receptive to that, praise God, they're going to get a blessing. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I just want to ask everyone to stand. We're going to read from the Word. A brief scripture. We're reading from Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Praise God. The Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." And you may be seated. Praise God. Nothing fancy here, but we're talking about the wilderness today. As you can see, we're doing a camping theme. Everyone loves to go camping, maybe not so much. Some people have horrid memories of camping. Some people have good memories of camping. But we think of camping, we have to go into the wilderness, right? And no matter what or where you are, whether you like to go into the wilderness or not, every child of God has to go through the wilderness to get to the promised land. Amen? Moses had to endure the wilderness for 40 years, all right? And the Bible tells us, even in the next scripture, in Matthew 4:2, that Jesus endured 40 days of prayer and fasting before he went into the wilderness. Amen? Praise God. Heaven is where we want to be. Heaven is our final goal. We are not citizens of this world. If you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, and you've been filled with his Spirit, you are adopted into the family of God, and you are no longer a citizen of this world. Praise God. So we are pushing towards heaven, amen? I remember when I was little, my parents used to go camping, and we always had a good time. My father's in here right now, and we just had a good time camping, and I'm going to call them out right now, because some of my most fond memories, we didn't have a lot of money, but we had love. Amen. Anyone with me there? Praise God. Raised on love. And love is the best thing to be raised on. I'd rather be raised on love than money. Amen. We didn't have a lot of money. So my dad, he was a Boy Scout. His dad was in the military. He was an Army brat. So we didn't go out to REI and buy a tent. We always made our tents. He taught us how to make our tents. And what he would do is he would run a line from one tree to another. And he would get out this amazing material called a tarp. And he would strap that over the tree and he would stake it to the ground. And that was our home away from home. Anyone with me here? Anyone ever stayed in a tarp tent? There's got a couple hands in here. All right. Praise God. And my mom and dad, they were really brave. They stayed in the back of the van in a blow-up mattress. So, Praise God. Fending off the mosquitoes. Kids, you guys go outside and just fend off those mosquitoes. And boy, we got some big mosquitoes in Wisconsin too, don't we? Some meat eaters. Praise God. I love going camping, and one of my most fond memories of camping was when you'd wake up in the morning, and my dad had a big cast iron skillet. And over the fire, he would cook pancakes and eggs and bacon and all kinds of good treats. Amen. Is anybody's mouth watering right now? Anyone? All right. My dad actually was a very good cook, and he would make all these awesome treats, and we would eat all this good food, and then we would go exploring. You'd go find the trails and the campsites or in the camp park, and we would go off in the trails, and there would always find those really cool bridges that were built by hand and put in over the little streams and stuff, and you climb up the big cliffs, and you get to see the overlooks, and it was just a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. In fact, this year, for a lot of us men here at church, our pastor has been asked to help freshen up our church camp up in Shawano. And so we've spent a lot of time together, a lot of us brothers, up at camp and building some special memories together. I can't go into any of those details because I have taken the brotherly vow of silence, but I won't call out Brother Marvin, Brother Calvin in the shower up at Shawano. We won't talk about that. Praise God. We won't go there. But it was funny. But you know, I was working up at camp, and I spent so much time up there, and I really started to reflect upon myself as a child and how much I love camping and how much it meant to me. And I look at my children and I started to say, life is going on. What memories do I have with my children? What are they going to look back on? Did they ever have a cast iron skillet meal? Those memories that I enjoyed as a child. So thanks to my dad ingraining that in me, I wanted to share that with my children. But I wasn't as tough as my dad, so I went out and bought an RV. I bought a travel trailer. It was used, but it's a blessing, praise God. And we spent some time up at camp. We have a few brothers and sisters who have campers here in the church, and they know exactly what we're talking about. We have little things at camping, traditions. Some of the people recognize the camp when you go camping. Some people put out goofy things like pink flamingos. And there's goofy traditions that you can do. We actually started a tradition with one family this year where we put up a sheet. Actually, a couple families put up a sheet, and we took an overhead projector and we watched a video outside on it. It was a lot of fun under the stars. It was really cool. So camping is really a lot of fun. But before you go camping, there's some things that you must remember. You are not at home anymore, right? You're entering into another place, into a wilderness place, young people. So when you leave your home and you enter into another place, there's some things that you must remember, okay? There's some things that you must remember. Things like bring bug spray, amen? Because you're not at home anymore. Maybe things like tie up your food. Has anyone ever been ravished by a raccoon? You come out in the morning and all of a sudden, where did our cooler go? And you find pieces of it scattered down the trail. It's not your home. It's their home. You are a visitor in their home. So today we're going to be talking about a message. The title of my message is Don't Feed the Bears. So I made this little sign. Don't feed the bears. Now, we're not talking about the Chicago Bears, because you don't have to worry about them. They're not very tough, right? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to get tomatoes, aren't I? We're not talking about Fozzie the Bear. We're not talking about Yogi the Bear. Hey, boo-boo, come on. We're not talking about Winnie the Pooh-Poo. Or as my kids used to say, any poo-poo when they were little. Yeah, they remember. We're talking about bears. In the wilderness. The Bible tells us, again, that we are in the world, but not of the world. Again, once we receive the Spirit of God, once we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and that's something you can receive here today if you've never received it before. We had, I believe, 3 people receive it this morning, and that's awesome. Young sister Nikilski, I believe, prayed one through. Praise God. Little prayer warrior there. Once you're baptized in Jesus' name, you are adopted into the family. One time, I used to be a citizen of this world, and such were some of you. We used to hang out in places that weren't godly places. We used to say ungodly things. We used to do ungodly things. A lot of our testimonies, I'm sure a lot of us in this place wouldn't be too proud to share when we remember back to some of the things that we've done in the world. Such is the things of the wilderness, right? But God has delivered us from that. He has created in us a new heart. He's given us a new name, and we have a new home. But we must spend some time in the wilderness on our way to the promised land. All right? Praise God. So we are officially ambassadors of this world. Now, what is an ambassador? Anyone? Ambassador, big word. I have the dictionary term for it, or definition. An accredited diplomat sent to a country as its official representative to a foreign country. How many of you have ever seen some of those movies or whatever, and you've seen where all the diplomats and the esteemed people get together? And sometimes you'll have people from other countries, and they dress in other countries, right? Maybe the people from Africa will wear, what are those garbs called? I forget what they're called. I asked Brother Claude one time. He's not in here to save me, but I believe, I can't remember. I'm not even going to try. But we see those really elaborate garbs. A lot of them look like they're made of silk and very colorful and very beautiful. And I've heard one time that the more royal a person is, it'll be a little more poofed up, a little more to it. Or you can go to Scotland and you can see the kilts, right? Some of the people there in Scotland, they can wear those, like, people like, what is that guy wearing a skirt for? Those nasty, hairy legs. And, oh, it's not a skirt, it's a kilt. Can you do a Scottish accent, anyone? All right. Or maybe you go to Texas, the country of Texas, and they have those big 10-gallon hats, right? All right. So the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says that he is an ambassador to another land. He's representing his homeland. He's representing his home place, but he's not in his home place. Such are some of us. When we receive the Holy Ghost, we are not from this place. Amen? We're from another place, but we are representing the other place. We're representing our King, the King of all kings. Amen. So ambassadors have to dress differently. Ambassadors dress differently. We've already discussed that, what they wear in different countries. But we have to remember that we are called to dress differently when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When we are from heaven, when we are the King's children, we have to remember that we dress differently. God has called us to dress holy. He has called us to dress modestly. And other people from the wilderness may see that and they go, why do they do this? Why do they do this? Ephesians chapter 6, even goes so far as to tell us that we are to dress in the whole armor of God. Every day, how many of you get up and pray and you put on the armor of God? We should all do it. Amen. The Bible says that we put on the armor of God to stand against the wiles of the enemy. So every day I get up and I pray. I say, God, I pray that you would shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. God, I pray that you would gird my loins with your truth. Place your breastplate of righteousness upon me. Place your shield of faith in my hand and the sword of your spirit in my other hand. And the helmet of salvation. Good job. Good job. How many of you guys have ever done that before? Have you ever prayed that out? Awesome. Good. Keep doing it. Because there's a world out there that we can't see. A world out there full of an enemy who is trying to tear us down, and we need to put on that armor. Yes, you can't see the armor of God, and some of you may hear us say, well, you pray it on and that's it, whatever, but you believe, and God will put these things on you, and they protect you, praise God. We walk with faith. We walk with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We put on the shield, the belt of truth, because we need to walk in truth. We need to remember that everywhere that our feet goes, that we're spreading the peace, the gospel of peace, amen, and the helmet of salvation, praise God. We need to remember as ambassadors that we act differently. We can't act like we used to. We can't act like the people in the wilderness. How do people act in the wild? They act like wild animals, right? But when we are called of God, we are from another land. We have to remember that we act differently. We have to represent the King. We have to bear His authority. When He gives us His authority, He gives us power. The Bible says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power. What kind of power, you may say? Power over sickness. You heard us praying earlier. We were praying for somebody who was sick. God has given us that authority to pray for these people and claim a healing. Praise God. Ambassadors conduct business in an embassy. We all come to a place. This place is not in the wilderness, or it is in the wilderness, but it is not the wilderness. This place represents our home away from home. Our embassy is our safe place. When we come to church as ambassadors, it's a time where we can come, and it's even though we are in the wilderness still, we can come here and worship God. We can come here and conduct embassy business. Amen? And ambassadors must stay in touch with their King. Praise God. This is so important, young people. We must pray. We must pray. We must find what the King's will is. We must find out every day. Get up in the morning and pray. Pray that you would be sensitive to hear from God and that God would direct your paths, because there are maybe people in the wilderness that need your help. Amen. So you're in the wilderness. And what is in the wilderness? Bears. Bears are in the wilderness. Amen. Speaking of bears, look at that guy. Praise God. Bears are in the wilderness. Now, can I ask you, I just want to pause here for a minute. This is true friendship right here, that when I asked this man to put this on and dress like this, bears are in the wilderness. We must remember that bears can look cute. I saw a video on Facebook recently where a little bear was sleeping in a lady's arms, and the bear was snoring and cooing, and it was so cute. And my wife says to me, "Oh, I want one." I can't take her to the pet store or anything because she sees little kittens and puppies, and she goes, "I want one." Bears look cute when they're small, but young people, we must remember that bears do grow up. Bears grow up to be big and large carnivorous animals. Carnivorous means that they eat meat, young people. Any idea what you're made of? Oh. So bears look at you like a Big Mac or a gordita. All right? How big do bears get? Well, I looked it up, and the polar bear can get as big as 11 feet tall. 11 feet tall. And they can weigh as much as 1,700 pounds. 1,700 pounds. So you think to yourself, surely something so large must be slow. But surely you're wrong if you say that, because it says that bears can run up to 40 miles per hour. 40 miles per hour. And you may think, wow, come on. No pressure there. You think to yourself, well, how fast can a man go? I looked it up, and Usain Bolt, who was in the Olympics, the fastest known man out there, he can run up to 27 miles per hour. 27, that's almost half of what a bear can run, 40 miles per hour. So if you come into contact in the wild with a bear and you think that you're just going to get away and run away, you better think again, because bears are tough and they're mean and they're big and strong. Show us your muscles, bear. Bears have been known to eat almost anything. Thank you, Brother Brad. Bears have been known to eat almost anything. Bears have been known to eat almost anything, including snowmobile seats, engine oil, and rubber boots. Bears will eat anything when they're hungry. Grizzly bears are estimated to be 2.5 to 5 times as strong as an average human. A grizzly bear's jaws are powerful enough to bite through a cast iron skillet. And they can crush a bowling ball. Can you imagine how strong that is? In one test, a 700-pound dumpster that required 2 people just to tip it over was rolled around like a beach ball by a single grizzly bear. That's pretty strong. We need to respect the bears. They're big and strong. What are the bears in your life? What are some of the bears that may come around and try to attack you and to tear you down? Come on now. What are some of the things that may try to tear you down? Let me ask you a question. If you knew that your end was going to be tragic, and there's a tragic and horrible countdown happening, and you had a horrible ending, how would you react? Well, the devil knows this very thing. He knows that he has a horrible ending. He knows this because he knows the Word of God. He knows the prophecies in the Bible about his ending. And he is like an angry bear. He wants to tear you down. The Bible says, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring bear, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Now, it says in the Bible, a roaring lion, but that's over in probably in the Middle East and wherever the Bible was written. But here in Wisconsin, we have bears. North America is known to have the most bears in the world. He's seeking about whom he may devour. He's looking for the weak ones. Amen. Polar bears have an excellent sense of smell. They can locate seals up to 40 miles away. 40 miles. How far would you think your house is from here? Not 40 miles, unless you drove a long ways to get here. They can even smell a seal under 3 feet of ice, solid feet of ice. They can smell through it. They're looking for the weak. The bears are sensing the weak. They don't want an easy meal, and that's just like the devil. He's roaming around, and he's smelling out the weak ones. Let me smell and see who didn't pray today. Let me smell and see who hasn't been reading their Bible. He can sense these things. And when he sees that weakness, he will strike. He will strike. Amen? Now, don't get weakness mixed up with problems in your life. Sometimes we go through life and we have problems, and those problems can weigh us down. You may have your car break down, or you may have other things that happen to you. Those are things that can happen, and the enemy can try to jump in on those things. But we need to fight back. We need to tell him no. We're not gonna take that. So the bears are looking for the weak. The enemy is looking for the weak. What are you supposed to do when you're confronted by a bear? I read in the internet that what you can do is lay on your belly and take your hands and clasp them together and put them over the back of your neck. And that's about all you can do, says the internet. If a bear comes to attack you, he can outrun you. He can outclimb you. He can outswim you. If he makes up in his mind that he's going to attack you, basically you're supposed to lay there and let him chew on you for a while and maybe hope that he gets bored and walks away. Maybe you don't taste good. Maybe he wants some Lowry's with you. So he goes home and gets some, and you just hightail it out of there, right? But I've made up my mind, I'm not going to let any bear come and chew on me. I'm going to fight back. Anyone going to fight back? If I ever get confronted with a bear, if the enemy ever comes against me, I'm going to do everything in my power to fight back. Is anyone with me? I'm going to flail my arms. I'm going to yell. I'm going to claim to that bear where I'm from, that I'm from another land, and that he better not mess with me because I am the king's child, right? I'm not going to lay down and play dead. That bear's going to come in your life no matter what. He's going to show up, and he is going to look for weakness. So I made up my mind, I'm not going to be that weak one. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to seek God. And I'm going to let God protect me. Amen? When we go underneath that covering, that prayer, praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get in over our heads in life. And we get in a situation where we feel overwhelmed. And the bear moves in and he starts to chew on us. We can feel pretty helpless. What can we do? What can we do? I can tell you one story in the Bible, in Matthew chapter, I think it's 21. I'm not sure what, I didn't write that down. I'm sorry, Sister Jennifer. But verse 15, they came to Jesus. A man came to Jesus and he said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oftentimes into the water. And I brought him unto the disciples, and they could not cure him." This man had taken his son, who was vexed with a problem, and his son was throwing himself into the fire and into the water. And he cared about his son, and he felt pretty helpless. He didn't know what to do. And he sought for an answer, and he sought to the wrong place. Because the people that he went to, which were the disciples, they didn't know what to do. They tried to do what they could do, so the man sought Jesus. And Jesus said, "Howbeit, this kind goeth out by prayer and fasting. Sometimes we can't fight bears on our own. We need to seek out help. We need to seek out a warden. Amen. God has given us a pastor in your life, a pastor who is connected to God, who loves God, who has been put over you, who will help you to fight in this battle of life that we are going through. Our pastors love us, and sometimes we get in over our heads and we need to go and talk to our pastor. We need to reach out to him and say, "Pastor, I've been under attack by this situation in my life. I don't know how to get out of this." And he will bind together with you in prayer and fasting. Praise God. I did say we were going to be short, so if we could have our musicians come and we could stand. Praise God. One of the things that, if you've ever been camping, and you know that when you're in the wilderness, it's important, one of the most important things to do is to build a fire. Amen? When we build a fire in our lives, it keeps a lot of the enemy away. How many of you have a strong passion for God? Those are things that can, that is something that can build that fire in your life. When you allow God to be at the center of your life. When there's a fire in the campground, the animals typically shy away. Because they don't want to be near the fire. They're scared of the fire. So when you say to yourself, "I'm out in the wilderness, I'm in a strange place, I'm going to build a fire." Now, what are some of the things that we can use to build a fire? Prayer, fasting, Bible reading. I know these can sound like, okay, but you know what? They work, young people. They work. And sometimes it's good to let our fire spread. Some other families in the wilderness may be there. And they may be having problems with bears. They may be having problems with the enemy attacking their lives. And you can take your fire and you can share it with them. And you can allow them to put that fire in their wilderness. And you can allow it to brighten up their wilderness and to provide protection for them. Praise God. Praise God. What are some of the bears in your life that may be provoking you? What are some of the bears in your life that may be tearing at you? As Sister Nicole preached this morning, she talked about the seeds that we plant, the things that we allow in our homes. What are some of the things that we are allowing in our homes? See, what may seem cute and cuddly and fuzzy at first, when you start to feed it, when you go to the park and you see the bears and they seem so cute with their big dopey eyes, and they come closely and they look so hungry and you think, well, I have in my car a little bit of food, right? So you reach out the window and you share a few French fries with the bear. You know how many times a bear has mauled cars to get more? Because a bear won't stop with just a bite or two. They want everything. The enemy wants everything. He wants to tear you down. He wants to break into your home. He doesn't care how much he tears up and destroys. He's going to destroy and tear up and take what he wants. We need to stay clear of the bears. We need to not feed the bears. Amen? So how many of us here today have been feeding the bears in our lives? We may have been starting out with just a little bite. Maybe it was just a little look on the internet. Come on. Maybe it was one drink with your buddies to try to be cool, or one smoke. You think it's just one. But before you know it, that bear starts to ravish in your life and he starts to tear and destroy. Jesus. And it's out of control. And you don't know what to do. And you're trying to hide it on the outside because you want to keep face, right? You don't want people to know. But that bear, he's inside. And he's tearing up and destroying. And before you know it, it's out. And you feel like you have nothing, nothing else. He's taken it all. But praise God, I'm here to offer you hope. We have a God, hallelujah, who is an awesome God. And he is an expert at putting homes together. The Bible tells us he's our creator. He created you specially. He designed you. He puts you together inside your mother's womb. He formed you when you were a little child. And as you grew, you may have went astray. And you may have made some bad choices. And you may have destroyed a few things along the way. But there's hope. There's something called restitution. We can come before the Lord and we can lay it at His feet. And He paid a price for us. He paid a price that we can have restitution, that things can be restored in our lives. But you say, I have this broken and nasty life, and God's not going to want this. Well, you're wrong. He said, bring unto me your broken, your torn down, your disgusting thing, and lay it at the altar. And I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new life. I will give you more abundant life. Life that you couldn't even imagine that could be so awesome. The Bible says that God's blessings are shaken, pressed down, and running over. God's so merciful and so good to us. Praise God. This altar's open right now. If you have a need in your life, if there is something attacking your home, or if you're in need of a healing here today, God is here. And the Bible says that He is our healer. And you can come up to this altar right now and call out to the Lord, and God will heal you. If you have a need, praise God. Whatever the need is, we can come and lay it before Jesus. We can come before the Lord right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.